Our Stories, Our Flats acknowledges the traditional owners of the Kulin Nations. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present. Welcome to Our Stories, Our Flats, a four-part podcast series about living and thriving in the Carlton Public Estates. Our Stories, Our Flats was created by and for the residents of the Carlton Flats. It is a free CR podcast. Special thanks to the City of Melbourne for helping us share it with the world. Our Stories, Our Flats is written, produced and edited by Ayan Shoiwa. Narration by Raven.
As someone who grew up in the flats during my early years, I had a fulfilling childhood. I had community, youth clubs at my doorstep. I lived in the radius of good schools, which meant I had opportunities that were gifted to me simply by the location of my home. That's all going to change for many young people when they're relocated out of Carlton. On the show today, we hear from youth practitioner Sabrina Adam. And joining us later are the brilliant girls from the Underground Women. Critics of public housing often cite the adverse effects of ethnic enclaves and use it as a justification to demolish people's homes. That's why it's essential to hear from residents like Sabrina Adam, who were challenging the scripts peddled by government and policymakers.
My name is Sabrina. I've lived in Carlton for over 20-something years, and I turned 25 yesterday, so I'm 25 years old. So I moved to Australia in 2002, and I was born in Sudan. And not a lot of people know this about me, no. And we first came and got moved to Altona, I think. That lasted for like a month or two. And then we got moved to Carlton, specifically like 510. And I spent like over 10 years living in Carlton, specifically in 510. And then we got moved over to a different building. My favourite memory growing up was definitely going downstairs like summer nights and seeing all these different families downstairs with like balls of fruit that they would bring down or snacks or cakes, and just going to every single station, taking a bit of food from everyone and then going off to play. Summer in Carlton is, honestly, it's a concept in itself. Like you were there or you weren't. But if you had to paint a picture, it was like, it was really hot in the buildings, and families usually had like, you know, that massive bulky AC or like no AC. So everyone was downstairs, and the breeze was just phenomenal. Imagine like picnic mats actually, spread out across like a massive field. Like that's the vision. And every single table has like different foods from wherever they're from, and then a bunch of random snacks, lollies, and then fruit balls, and you had access to all of it, and you just had to go play, and then when you were hungry, top up on someone's picnic blanket, and then go back to play. You stayed outside until your parents went up, or a relative of yours went up, and you were expected to follow. Some people like would go up when their neighbors went up, but essentially, as soon as you don't have an adult that you know downstairs, it was time to wrap it up. I noticed that things were different when I moved to a private school and no one lived in public housing. And I think even when I noticed the class difference, I still didn't pick up that there was a difference until I actually heard some of the students talk about having relatives in public housing. And then they spoke down on those people. And I was so shocked because they didn't know I lived in public housing, but it wasn't something I was hiding. It was just something that never came up. And so when I heard them speak like that, I got really defensive, and I think they were associating it with like, that's definitely like a druggy area. And if you come out from there, like you ain't shit. And I was so angry, and I was not notoriously like someone reactive. So I didn't often react. So when I did, it was like, oh, what's wrong with her? But it was so personal because this is my home. What are you talking about? Yeah, there was a lot of opinions about growing up in the States. Yeah, I think there was an image of what people had for what someone who'd been in public housing looked like. You were immediately a bit more aggressive, a bit raw. And? And what? Like, now I'm tougher. And what? And not only that, like, I just, yeah, I didn't know how, like, sheltered and isolated people were. Like, I thought everyone had the same lived experiences. Like, I didn't know anything else. So even people talking about what they did on school holidays, I was like, what do you mean you didn't just go downstairs and have fun with your friends? Like, what?
A justification for tearing down the flats is that it creates ethnic enclaves. In this next segment, Sabrina unpacks this narrative.
I think in your formative years, you need a bit of a bubble so you can be so self-assured and, like, know that you have a world to rely on. It's like, it's so isolating being thrown out and experiencing so many different worlds at such a young age. Like, you also need your foundation, your grounding, your community. And I think that that's the kind of role it played. So I grew up going to youth services a lot. And it was just a place that you and your friends would go hang out. That was the norm. And then I grew up and I actually worked at a program called Underground Women's. That was created out of young women from Carlton who grew up and said that they were going to run things for their own communities and still exist to this day. And it was just such an important space. I think when we were younger, it was important because it meant that we got to experience things outside of the bubble, and it was like a nice experience to go out and do things that you would never do normally. But now it's so much more important because we aren't hanging out outside in Carlton downstairs. We're not knowing our neighbours in the way that we used to. And so these spaces kind of work to build those friendships rather than exposure. Before, it was a bit more exposure because we all knew each other. But now it's definitely like to build relationships and repair what was undone. Yeah, it's so scary, the idea that like once they leave, they won't have access to youth services and spaces where they can connect with other young people in the same way that they get to now. And it's so scary. It's the idea that, you know, the sense of community that you had will disappear. I think that that's, oh, yeah. I don't know how to say what I want to say, but it's just, it's so sad. And I think about it from my sister's lens. Like, I grew up, I had community, I had reassurance from people around me. I had terrible experiences that I got to come back and tell my friends about and was reaffirmed and reassured. And I think about my sisters who, alhamdulillah, like they have relationships with other Carlton girls, but it's like they could easily lose that if everyone dissipates, essentially. And they'd have to rely solely on social media to maintain those relationships, but that's obviously not the same. My reservations about the demolition was how people were informed. I have people I know who work in government who live in those buildings, and they were notified at the same time as the general public. And the way the general public were notified was insane. It was like they found out with everyone else. There was no like notice provided. They have everyone's address. They could have sent anything beforehand. I think it was really distasteful. Also considering that the hard lockdown has just happened and people are feeling really empowered. And now it just felt like a stab in the back after they had to look out for each other that they said, oh, we're actually going to dismantle all this. This will cease to exist in a few years. It was really gross.
Living in proximity to people from similar backgrounds has many benefits. It can strengthen your sense of identity and culture and create strong social networks, which we know is key to combating loneliness and isolation. Not everyone living in these flats is affected by stigma. Many of us are proud of being raised in a neighborhood with culture, community, and resourcefulness. Residents like Sabrina Adam should be listened to and consulted with if we want to get a fuller understanding of the situation on the ground. You're listening to Our Stories, Our Flats, a 3CR podcast by and for the residents from the Carlton Public Flats. La 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 la. The Underground Women is a space for young people who live and work in the city of Melbourne. The girls meet weekly to learn, play, and hang out in a safe and supportive environment. Ayan met up with the girls during one of their catch-ups at the local gym.
Hi, my name is Siham. I've lived in Carlton since 2022.
Hi, my name is Yaz, and I've lived in Carlton since 2024. Hi, my name is Rahima and I lived in Carlton for 11 years.
Hi, my name is Maida and I lived in Carlton since 2024.
My favorite memory was probably when I first came here and I used to play outside till night.
My favorite memory in Carlton was when I would go outside and play basketball with my friends.
I like living in Carlton because there's like a lot of people living near you, so if you need something, you have neighbors really close to you.
The Somali community is like really big, so everyone's basically like a family here.
There's shops near you and everything is like not too far away like other suburbs.
My favorite thing about Carlton is that I have many friends to hang out with and they live nearby.
One thing I don't like about Carlton is that the safety here is not really good. There's unsafe people around and it's not good for the children.
The fire alarms go off a lot and it's really irritating.
When you wake up and you already hear like construction noise and it's like really annoying compared to different suburbs. In different suburbs you can hear like the bird like saying kaka, kaka.
I come here so I can like socialize with my friends more and have fun and like be more off of devices and be more social.
My favorite thing I've done so far was going to the bounce with my friends, and I really liked it.
My favorite thing about Underground Women's is how, like, every week or, like, in the holidays, we always have, like, a fun activity to do, but my favorite was probably the pool party.
If I could change one thing about Carlton is the buildings, because it's really, like, rusty and it's very disgusting, and sometimes there's, like, animals and they, like, do some inappropriate stuff around there.
Every time we go in the lifts in the morning, there's like piss.
One thing I wish I could change about Carlton is how when you're in like your house, it's like everything's so cramped.
One thing I would change about where I live is the fact that the apartments are not soundproof and you can hear like your upstairs neighbors like walking around and stuff. It's pretty irritating.
People that don't even live in the building just come inside and then they just do whatever they want.
My thoughts on the redevelopment program, if they're gonna like take down the buildings, that means we're gonna move somewhere else and then it's gonna be really different to change.
I wouldn't want them to like get rid of the buildings because it's like a really good community here and we would have to like go somewhere new. Overall, Carlton is like a really great place, even though like it has some ups and downs. I would personally recommend living in Carlton.
That was the Underground Women discussing life on the flats. Reflecting on this interview, it's inspiring to hear how deeply the young girls care about their community, while also being frank about the challenges they're witnessing. We should never underestimate the wisdom of young people. They are connecting dots that adults may sometimes miss. Decision makers should engage with young people, not only for their innovative ideas, but also because every voice matters when it comes to housing justice. Wherever you stand on the issue of redevelopment, it's important to note that the community, especially young people, know precisely what they want to see change. In the next episode, residents share their thoughts on accessibility and safety in the flats. To learn more about housing justice, head over to our 3CR website at 3cr.org.au/Our Stories, Our Flats. Our Stories, Our Flats is written, produced, and edited by Ayan Shoiwa. Narration by Raven.